Evening, everyone.
Before I begin, I know on Sunday, Obed already kind of covered a thank you from everybody, but I also wanted to thank anyone who was involved and helped out on Saturday with the youth fellowship this year. Like Obed had mentioned, I think it was a great success. And what matters is that these young folks, these young adults, and these young ones got to hear a portion of God's word, and hopefully that word touched their hearts and can inspire them to become bold and to put on Christ through baptism and become Christian. So if you were involved in any way, once again, thank you. It was much appreciated. This evening, what I wanted to discuss is when we're at our lowest in our lives, or when we go through low points in our lives. You know, there are times in life when everything can kind of seem to be going right. We may have good fortune, we may have our health, or we may be just going through really great year, a really great few years, and it seems awesome, it seems great. And there's a specific word that you can use to describe that. It's called serendipity. Now, serendipity is the occurrence and development of events by chance in a happy or a beneficial way. Some synonyms, I guess, to the word could be chance, fortuity, good fortune, or happy accident. Now, what we're focusing on tonight is the opposite of those times. You know, when we view our lives, we find that it's not always going to be full of high points and happy moments and smiles and good fortune. There's going to be times where we could feel the exact opposite. You know, we won't always ride a wave of good fortune. In fact, there's going to be many times where everything may seem to be falling apart. Some words that come to mind could be misfortune, sadness, loss, unhappiness, or even failure. You know, there are times where you fall off that wave of fortune and you sink down into what some refer to as rock bottom. You know, being in a place like that, it's not easy. And it may seem that there's never a way to get out of rock bottom or to get out of that hole that you're in. It's in those moments we may struggle with our faith. You know, we may ask ourselves, how could God let me go through this? Why would he make me go through it alone? Now, the truth is, we are never alone. You know, during those dark times, it may be difficult to see the light or to be positive in those specific times. But that light, it's there. Sometimes we choose not to see it. You know, it's an easy thing to make that choice to not see the light. It's an easy thing to give up. Calling it quits doesn't take any effort whatsoever. You know, we can have the idea that, well, I'm in this situation because God hates me, and I feel the same way right back because nothing in my life is going right or the way that I want it to go. But is that how we should be thinking in situations like that, if and when they arise? An example that we can look at in the Bible is in the book of Job. And we can turn there right now to Job. Job chapter 1. And I'm sure we're all familiar with this book and the story that it holds within it. Now, Job, to give a little backstory before we read the verses, Job is a wealthy and powerful man who has cattle, land, many sons and daughters. And in the book, God and Satan are speaking, and God says that there is no other on earth like Job. But the devil is certain that Job is only faithful because he has wealth and gain, and wants to test him to show that to show God that he is only faithful for wrong reasons. So, afflictions are put upon Job, and that's where we're going to pick up. Job 1, verse 13 is where we're going to start reading. Job 1:13 and forward. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkey feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they were slain. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. See that in a matter of not even a day, Job has lost servants, he lost cattle, animals, and his sons and his daughters. You know, loss on that kind of level has to be devastating. You know, the loss of only one loved one, one family member within itself is heart-wrenching as it is. So we could imagine losing all your sons and daughters in a matter of a day, how that could have felt. That's something that is hard to imagine. But how does Job respond to the afflictions? If we keep reading, we can go to verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He ripped his clothes, and he grieved. But most importantly, he didn't blame God. He worshipped, as it says, and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. When we are in situations of loss, devastation, or in that dark place that you can fall into, do we still praise the name of our Lord? Do we still thank Him for all that He has done and all that He will do? You know, that's where the test of ourselves comes into play. Are we strong enough in faith to God where we allow it to be placed into His hands? Or do we let man dissuade us from God's almighty power? If we go into the second chapter of Job, let's do that now. We go into Job chapter 2, verse 7. Job 2, verse 7. We'll read to verse 10. It says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Satan was still trying to test and get to Job. He had been given boils from his head to his toes. And you could imagine how excruciating, how painful that has to be. And what does his wife say to him? Curse God. Give up. You know, that's what man wants. And that is absolutely what Satan wants. Satan wants to tempt us and throw anything our way that'll make us slip, that'll make us lose focus, that'll make us fall, that'll make us grow further and further away from God as possible. That's whenever he has us. He wants us to give up our faith in God. That way we can focus on the world and things that are unrighteous to God. Things that are of no importance. Things that do not last. He wants us to focus on ourselves first, Satan does. He wants us to put ourselves first. He wants us to put the world first. Anything before God. But we know that the physical is not the only thing that needs attention. We should understand that we need not only to be thankful and grateful for physical things that God provides for us in this life. However, God has something to offer that is greater than any amount of money, piece of jewelry, gold, a home, a mansion, whatever you can think of. Anything that has physical value in this world. Let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That gift that he has to offer does not come without us putting in our own work and following that plan of salvation to have that opportunity of eternal life that he has to offer. To obtain that promise or that gift that God has for us, we must dedicate ourselves to him. And that's not just once a week or twice a week. That's every single day. We remain faithful until the end of our time on this earth. If you read Job in its entirety, you'll find that at the last chapter, he is restored because of his faithfulness in God. And he gets back more than what he had originally. He gets his animals, his cattle, sons and daughters. And it says that he lived to be 140 years and saw up to 4 generations. Now, if we can remain faithful and obedient followers of Christ throughout our days here, although it may not be 140 years here on earth, like Job had, but whatever time that we have, if we can obey and follow that plan of salvation and be obedient followers for God, we too can get a reward. We'll get more than anything that can be promised to us here on this earth. Any amount that a lottery can give you, anything that you can imagine, it'll be far greater. We get eternal life with God. Another thing that we need to understand is that when we put our situations into God's hands, that we do not dwell on our own wants. Although we may want things to go according to how our own will wants to be, that's not how it works. It's something that is not easy. You got to understand, it's not an easy thing to do. It's a very tough pill to swallow. But that's what we need to all get to comprehend. That being a Christian means we put our egos to the side. We are not prideful. And so stuck on the physical and about our own wants. As a Christian, we focus on what God expects from us. We focus on what He deserves, on what His will is. Everything should be for the glory of God. He has all the authority, the knowledge, power, understanding, and we must trust that what His will be for what is best, because He is all-knowing. He has all of that power, all of that authority. And it is His will that shall be done. Lastly, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll focus on verses 5 through 7. Says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In those moments where we feel like we're stuck, or like we've fallen down into a deep abyss and we can't get back up for whatever reason it may be, God is there. We have to seek Him diligently, as the Bible says. And we put our trust in Him and believe that His will shall be done, whatever it may be. And in those times where our faith And in those times of darkness, should be where our faith should be strongest. At those low points, at those times where we feel like nothing's going right, that is whenever our faith should be strongest as ever and remain that way. Not only for whenever everything is going right for us should we be grateful, but through those tough times as well, through the hardships that we face, the long suffering. Be grateful. If you feel as if you're in that dark place right now, and you feel you have not been the best Christian for God, this moment is for you. At this time, if you feel like you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you need to lean on somebody, if you need somebody to help you, you can come forward. And we could all pray. Or, if you have yet to become a Christian, this time is for you as well. If you've yet to become part of the body of Christ, this moment is for you. Follow His plan of salvation. You have heard the word of God, and if you believe it to be true, you must repent, confess Jesus before man, and be baptized in a watery grave, and arise to a newness of life. Don't waste another moment. Don't waste another day. Don't waste another minute. Now is the time. And you have that opportunity as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.